and Inca. I know something of them. During the long hours I spent in Durance Vile at the various safe houses of the white-coat time scientists, I had ample opportunity to catch up on my neglected reading. I believe that it was probably in the Victorian Gothic frame house in rural Maryland, or was it the military intelligence mansion in the Misty Hills of Virginia? Well, it matters not. There was a library there, and I remember reading an excellent tome on this very subject. The book was called The Sun, the Pyramid, and the Knife by a scholarly author whose name was, Jedediah Alnwick. He gave great detail of the barbaric murders these people carried out in the name of their religion. Still, I suppose it was ever thus. I remember that everyone was required to attend these sacrifices. Everyone. I think it might be unwise to reject any invitation.
The afternoon drifted by. Dean fell asleep, giving his father and Christy the opportunity to make hurried love beneath a long embroidered blanket that was trimmed with the colorful feathers of a bird of paradise. Christy lay on her back on the bed.
That was nice. Though I reckon I'd always take a slowie over a quickie any day of the week.
Yeah, I agree. Both of them were keeping their voices pitched low to avoid waking Dean, who slept behind the beaded curtain.
We gonna help these people?
Ryan sat on the bed, checking the action of the Sig Sauer.
Don't see why we might not help them out a little on a raid of these Jaguar people. And if the slavers were to come calling...
What's that stuff that JB and Doc were playing around with out back of their place?
Ryan stood and stretched.
I reckon it's likely going to turn out to be a primitive explosive of some kind.
Someone's coming. Two men.
Dean.
What is it?
Company.
The boy swung off his bed, appearing through the beaded curtain with his 9mm Browning gripped in his right fist, looking as big as a cannon. The men swept into the hut without bothering to knock or call out a warning. One of them was a young boy, wearing a mask of a human skull, fleshless, with empty holes where the eyes should have been. The teeth were inlaid chips of turquoise. He was clearly subordinate to the other figure in the room. Ryan had already learned enough of the color-coded regalia of the tribe to recognize that the man was a priest, a very senior priest. His robes were black, and he wore a mask of a sable serpent's mouth, the sharpened teeth gripping the polished head of what looked like a large rat. Between its fangs there was a smaller skull, looking disturbingly humanoid. The priest's own hair was long and matted with fresh blood.
You all come.
It sounded to Ryan like a command rather than a question.
Yeah. Christy, go get JB and the others. Remind them we're all on double red.
Sure.
Christy vanished, the dark eyes of the natives turning to follow her.
Be quick. Before sun sleeps.
Right. How long will this take?
What?
Ryan shook his head, realizing that the priest's grasp of the American language was very poor. While he waited, Ryan looked at the strange robe that the native was wearing. It was some sort of fine tanned leather, fitting well over his shoulders and chest, though there were strange dangling protuberances hanging from near the top of his arms and from the hips on both sides. Ryan realized what the bizarre robe was made from. It was made from the flayed skin of a fully grown man. Christy and the others joined Ryan, the priest, and his young assistant out of the main part of the village toward the ancient pyramid that towered above the evening forest. All the men of the village were gathered around the base of the stone mountain, the women and children ranged behind them. Ryan saw that many of the council of elders were dressed in their best ceremonial finery, with whispering beads, jeweled masks, and swaying feathers. He recognized Speaking Eagle and Smoking Crest, both wearing blue shrouds. Its coatl was in red, streaked with black. In the front line of the women stood Rainflower, her eyes fixed to Jack. The shadows were elongated, stretching from the trees while the setting sun dappled everything with crimson. Scented smoke drifted across the scene from iron braziers placed at each angle. There were several larger fires built on the flat top of the pyramid. More ghostly figures, wearing flayed human skin and sodden with blood, moved slowly from corner to corner in what seemed to be a stately dance. The boy led Ryan to a position of honor in the first line, alongside some of the older warriors, their scarred bodies showing the battles they'd fought. Christy followed, the others at her heels. Jack took his place, the last of the friends. All of them carried their firearms. For a moment, the large natural arena was totally still. Heads began to turn, and Ryan looked back toward the village, seeing the three prisoners being brought out by an escort of warriors. The men were dancing in a ponderous ritual, two steps to the front, and then one to the side, one back, and one more to the other side, then two strides forward. To Ryan's great surprise, he saw that the two jaguar warriors were also dancing, following the pattern of the others, their faces impassive, unsmiling. Their hands and feet were free, and sweat glistened on their bodies. The swarthy slaver, still wearing the blood-soaked shirt that masked the deep wound to his stomach, was not participating gladly in the ceremony. His hands had been tied behind his back, his feet dragging furrows through the dirt. Two warriors hauled him along between them, while a third walked behind, keeping the prisoner moving with a spear tipped with a black stone. He fought and struggled all the way. At a gesture from Itzcoatl, one of the junior priests strode forward and stopped in front of the white man. He held a small tube in his hands and poured something into it from a pouch at his waist, lifting it and blowing into the prisoner's face. Ryan saw that it was a pale powder, and it had the effect of calming the man.
Drug?
That stuff they call yautli, Indian hemp. It's a narcotic. Takes away a little of the pain. Takes a lot of the fear and anxiety from the poor bastard. Helps him to go more gently into the endless night. Now the dancers were nearly on top of them, heading toward the foot of the pyramid. At an unseen signal, all of the ordinary natives bowed down, their foreheads touching the dew-slick grass. The priests and elders stood. In the sway of movement, Ryan found himself pushed against the chief, who turned to him.
This is dedicated to Huehuetiatl, who is the god of fire. That is why...
The chief gestured to the blazing piles of logs all around them and on top of the pyramid.
The jaguar people, they seem to be going willingly to their deaths.
Right on, my friend. They have also been given yautli, which...
I know. Makes the pain less painful.
And it helps to go with the ritual.
Now the dancers had reached the foot of the pyramid and were performing a complicated interweaving step, circling around and around, in and out, hypnotically. Then they began to climb. As the men moved higher, they rose from the grayness of dusk into the last rays of the sun, which painted them scarlet and gold, catching the brilliant glitter of their necklaces and earrings, glinting off the polished stone of the daggers.
By the three Kennedys, this is like being transported in a time machine, back, far back into the 16th century and beyond. We are witnessing a ceremony that no white man could have seen for hundreds of years. It was believed long lost.
They gonna chill him, Dad?
I think so, Dean. But whatever happens, you're not to move or cry out, understand? Our lives, all of our lives, could depend on not behaving stoop.
Sure, Dad.
The dancers were more than halfway up the side, climbing row after row of the steep steps with fluid ease. The wounded slaver seemed much more passive, waiting at the bottom, half supported by his guards. A large log fell into the heart of the nearest fire, raising a flare of dazzling flames. The light showed the white prisoner more clearly, revealing the reason for his inability to call out properly for help, showing the waggling stump of his amputated tongue, raw and bleeding. Now he was being helped up the pyramid, a faltering step at a time. The natives had all stood, watching the progress of the ritual. Time passed with a strange, drugged slowness. Ryan was becoming increasingly disoriented, his head weightless, feeling as though the solid turf were shimmering under his feet, like the scales of some gigantic reptile. The smoke that swirled all around was tainted with a bitter scent of herbs, which Ryan began to suspect might be seriously intoxicating. He tried to breathe more shallowly, through his mouth, hoping that it might minimize the adverse effects of the native drugs. Without realizing it, Ryan had closed his good eye, drifting away from the present, jerking back to life when Christy nudged him in the ribs.
Dropping asleep, lover.
Now all three prisoners were together on the top of the pyramid. Most of the dancers had stepped away, returning carefully down the shadowed steps to level ground. The sun was nearly down, illuminating only the very topmost layer of stones.